I can go with me to the book of Genesis in chapter number 6. Genesis in chapter number 6. We'll start reading here along about verse number. Let's try verse number 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. And the Bible said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In verse number 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the word of God. Pray that you'd bless it as we try to preach it and work in each heart. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Got a question for you tonight, and the title of the message is Lessons from a Box. You think we can learn anything from a box? Think it might be possible to learn anything from a box? I know the people that were instrumental of me coming to the church where I was saved at. There was a couple, a man and wife, of course, and had two daughters, and so she was riding on a tractor farm all and bush hogging, and she hit a stump. And when she did, why, She fell off the tractor and the bush hog run over and cut her up some in her middle section where she died there from that. And that brother, he told me, he said, now the church we was going to, that when Christmas time came, the church brought, you know, gifts for us for the girls and this and that. Said they had all kind of stuff for her. Said when they opened up all the gifts, they played with the boxes. Yeah. Played with the boxes. So, you know, do you think you can learn anything from a box? So how come you to ask that question? You ever look up the definition of the word ark? You ever looked it up? Look it up sometime in the Strong's Concordance. You know what the definition of ark is? It means a box. A box. So you think you can learn anything from a box? Well, if you get to looking at this box that they were in for a year, then there's some lessons we can learn from that. And that's what I want to look at tonight. I'm gonna ease up on you a little bit tonight. Is that okay? So just kick your shoes off, amen. If you're a man, kick your boots off, you know. So I don't wear boots. Well, are you a man? I'm just joking. But anyway. I'm easing up on you tonight, okay? And we're going to change gears a little bit, just, you know, let her hair down and enjoy the Bible and the things of God. You say, well, I'm not saved. Well, I hope the Lord saves you, amen. It ain't going to be because I really get on you. It's going to be God, and who knows what, when, and how he's going to do it. But anyhow, I'm going to ease up on you a little bit tonight. I want to look at this thing here then about lessons from a box. And the reason I call it a box, because when you look it up, and the best I remember now, it's been a while since I looked at this, but the best I remember, when you look up this thing about the ark here, it means a box. And I think it's the same definition when you get over to that little ark that Moses' mama prepared for him and put him in the bulrushes. You know what that word, you know what the definition of that ark is? It means a box. And the best I remember, don't hold me to this now, but the best I remember, the Ark of the Covenant. When you look up that word ark, best I remember, it means a box. A box. So that's reason. So if you get to looking at these things and what we can learn from these, centering around this thought then, I was sitting there in my office one day looking at some things, and I don't remember now why I looked at it. I thought, well, what does the word ark even mean? So I went over to the Strong's Concordance and looked it up, and it said a box. And I thought, lessons from a box. So I want to look tonight at three things about this box. And brother, it was an overgrown box. It was a great big old box. Bible talked about these cubits that they were, and it's according to who you read after, who tells you what a cubit is, okay? But basically, we're thinking something long about 540 feet long. We're thinking of something about 90 feet wide and something like 54 feet high, three stories to it. So that's a great old big box. And the first thing I want to say about this box is it was God's idea.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay? Wasn't man's idea at all, see? Man, they were going along, doing what they wanted to do, doing what was right in their own eyes, you know, giving, taking in marriage, living like they did. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving and taking in marriage, but they were going on in their sinful lifestyle every day, the same way and this and that and all. And the Lord, I'll just put it this way, he got enough of it, okay? And so then God called, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God wanted to preserve the human race with Adam and with Noah and his three sons. And the way it's mentioned here, now, when you go to another place in the Bible, and I don't have that mark down here, so I guess you'll just have to take my word for it. But somewhere in here, it talks about Japheth the elder, okay? So he was the oldest, Shem was the second child, and Ham was the youngest one, see? And so within all them three boys and their wives and Noah and his wife, what we have today is what we know the human race came from there, see? And so God then wanted Noah to build this great old big box All it was a floating vessel. It was not made to sail. It didn't have any sails on it. Didn't have any kind of motor on it, because they wasn't going anywhere.
That's right.
See? It wasn't because they were going to get from one place to the other. Well, we've made it now. No, sir. They wasn't going anywhere. All they were doing was to build this boat for these critters to get on and these human beings to get on and fowl and things. Well, that'd be under critters. So critters and human beings got on this great big box, See? And when the way they got them in there, Noah and his family went in, and Noah and his family didn't have to get out there. Now, catch him now. See him? Get out there. Get him quartered out. And then we'll get one time, me and my brother, we had hogs when we was, I don't know how we were. I guess I was probably 12, 13, something. My daddy just took some logs and made a pen, just put them, you know, on top of each other like that right there, you know, and put them up long enough. And they got to get the root, and I guess knocked one of them logs off. One of them hogs got out. And we had him cornered up out there, and I had a hold of him, and we called my little brother Bubba, and Daddy said to me, he said, "Grab him, Bubba." And he took his two fingers like that right there and grabbed his ears. He didn't want to grab that one ear with them two fingers. He didn't want to go with it, you know. But whenever they went out there and to hurt up all these critters, they didn't hurt them up.
Didn't have to.
No. No. You ever try to load a goat? Anything wild like that. I mean, you know, you got sometimes cows and things, if you don't fool with them much and all, and they're young critters, and they're hard to fool with. And horses and things like that. I knew when we had a neighbor over there, he moved all of his stock out except for one horse. And if he'd have done it differently, he could have loaded the thing, you know. But any little old, and he was so cautious, but they didn't have to do any of the critters that way.
That's right.
God put it in their brain to get inside that box.
That's right.
God put it in their brain to get inside that box. The whole thing about the ark was an idea from God. Amen. See? That's where the ark come. It wasn't because, you know, Noah thought, well, we got to do something, you know, because this great flood's coming, this and that. Well, he didn't know anything about a flood. They'd never seen a great flood before. I've read now, there's different people that differ on this, and if the preacher differs with me, well, you follow him, okay? But I don't think it even rained. But there are those that think, you know, that it did rain, but they just never seen a flood before. But anyhow, and all, but, and so it was God's idea. It was not, no, he didn't try to, engineer this thought. And since he didn't engineer the thought, God told him then what to do, how big to make it, what to pitch it in, to put this slime, this pitch, whatever it was exactly, this pitch within and without and all, what dimensions to make the window, and whether or not it was one window or one window all the way around or a vent, whatever you want to call it, the door, whereabouts where it was and this and that. And whenever the Bible said that God, the Bible said the Lord said to them, "Come thou." See, if I were to tell you to come up here, that means I'm already up here, see? And whenever God said, "Come in," he was calling them in, and the Lord then shut them in. So all of this is an idea of God. The whole thing, listen, have you ever got to wonder why it is that God says, you know, we are sinners? Why it is that God says we owe a sin debt? Why it is, you know, that somebody's got to pay for this sin debt? Why it is the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus and could say to all of us, "Ye must be born again."
Right.
All of these things are God's doing. They're not man's doing. I didn't conjure all this stuff up, see? This Bible was here before I was here, and it'll be here when I'm gone, see? Right. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So God is the one who's got all of this going. God put it out there before Adam. He failed. God didn't, whenever he brought, you know, God was not like an ambulance going to a wreck or something other at the fall. God knew all along what was going on because all that was part of the providence of God.
Right.
So all of this in the providence of God, God wanted to destroy the earth.
And he did so. But in order for him to preserve some human beings and some critters, then the Lord said, build this box. So this box is an idea of God. All we have in the Bible is the mind of God. Although the Bible contains the Word of God, it contains the word of Satan, it contains the word of man, but the things that are there in the Word of God, as is recorded there, are there because God wants them there. So from that perspective then, the Bible is the Word of God. God is one who made the earth. God is one who put us on it. God is one who's give you physical life. God is one who is sustaining you in your life. God is one who will stop our ticker. God is the one who will take us where we're going to go. Amen? So the thing about this box here is an idea of God. That's not so hard to get a hold of, because this whole creation, and you and I and our living and our very next breath, is an all a creation of God. We're here by divine appointment. So first of all, the ark was God's idea and not Noah's, see? And so God knew what he was doing, and God knew what was going to transpire. And so therefore, he had Noah to build this box. Lessons from a box. Number two, if you can turn with me now to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. The New Testament talks about these things too. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Chapter 11 and verse number 7.
Yes,
now, of course, this is the faith chapter, we call it. By faith, Abel worshiped. By faith, Enoch walked. And by faith, Noah worked. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That's the reason I believe that they didn't know anything about rain.
Right.
Things not seen as yet, see? They were going to see something they hadn't seen previously, see? You say, well, that's just talking about the flood. Okay, maybe it is, but I think it's rain. The whole thing about it, they never had seen rain. So he said, by faith Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared a box. What it is? What it says it means. A box. Prepared a box. A great big overgrown box. Pitched within and without with pitch. Three stories. Had a door to get in and to get out when they needed a year later, and had a window on it, and this and that, a box to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Right.
Now, what I'm saying about this box here is, what the Bible says here in this particular verse is this. The ark was their savior.
Yes, yes.
The ark was their savior.
Yes.
Now, he said there in verse number 7, he said, and would move with fear, prepared an ark, or this box, to the saving of his house. Now, whenever I was studying this, and I don't remember now who I was reading after. I don't exactly remember who it was. But I was reading after somebody that brought up the question, you know, of Noah's other sons and daughters. And, of course, you know, a man being that old, you know, you'd think, well, you know, surely he had other sons and daughters. And maybe he did. I don't know. But whenever Shem, Ham, and Japheth, when they got on the ark, they wasn't 12-year-old boys. They wasn't 18-year-old young men. They were married. And I don't know how long they'd been married. Maybe they just didn't got, maybe been so busy building the ark. And you say, well, they worked on 120 years. Well, I don't know that they worked on it 120 years. I don't know how long they worked on it, okay, and all. But if they worked on it, if it started at 120 years, then Noah was doing some of it by himself, because the boys that got on the ark, when they got on, was something like 95 or so, in their 90s, you know. So you would think anybody 90-something years old would have surely already had some young'uns. But, you know, I don't know how that really worked back in them days and all, but if they did, the young'uns didn't get on. So anyhow, I don't know if he had any more children, who it was not. The Bible mentions Noah.
Yep.
And you know what his wife's name was? Had a fellow, no, he wasn't a preacher. He asked one time, I was preaching a meeting back over in the mountains at a little old church, and he said to me, he said, I got a question. He said, I asked every preacher this question. He said, what was Noah's wife's name?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
You know. And so you know what her name was?
Miss Noah.
Miss Noah. Amen. Something you can say about that, amen. But anyhow, so they got on there, see. So what that box became to them was their savior. Everybody inside of that box, human beings and critters, were saved. They were spared the judgment around them. Everybody inside that box escaped the drowning and the flood waters and the heated waters. When you get to thinking about that, know that the rain came down 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the great deep broke up, and all of this here, you know, and the volcanoes and the lava and the heat and things like that. And I've listened to, and Kent Hovind, he's out of jail now. He's out of prison. Thank God for that, you know. But anyhow, and I've heard him, he used to have a TV broadcast. They aired it over in our area on Saturday and Sunday nights, about 9:30. And so sometimes I look at that and so on. And he's talked about how they have found critters with green vegetation in their teeth. Whenever that fountain of great deeps broke up and rained, I mean, that happened just like that. And it caught them, you know, unprepared. And they were out there eating and grazing and living like they were and all. So whenever that came then, everybody and everything outside of there, and I don't know how many fish, you know, some fish died, evidently some of them didn't. But everything inside that box was spared.
Right.
Everything outside that box perished, because that box to them was their savior.
Right.
It was their savior.
Right.
Now to the world around them, notice how he words it there. He said that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And I think it is in the book of 2 Corinthians 2:16 that the preaching of the gospel, the preaching from the man of God, Paul speaking about himself, to some is a savor of life unto life.
Yep.
So those inside of this box were spared to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And to some, the preaching of the word of God by the man of God is a savor of life unto life, and to others a savor of death unto death. So the preaching then, or I should say the box then, that box for his family was like a savor of life unto life. But that box to others was a savor of death unto death. They were outside of that thing. They rejected what was going. I don't know what kind of hammering he did. I don't know what kind of sawing he did. I don't know anything but that, you know. We know he didn't have a home light, you know. He didn't have anything like that. I don't know what kind of saws he had. I don't know what kind of tools he had. Now listen, I wouldn't think they were just plumb, you know, podoc, plumb, dirt, stupid, ignorant people either. Amen.
Right.
I don't think there's that. You got anybody living, how old Noah was, 600 years old when he got on the thing? Looked like you'd learn a little something in 600 years. Amen.
Right.
You know. So I don't know what kind of tools that they had that they used. But every ringing of the hammer, every sawing, everything that the people around them, my friend, was speaking out to them.
That's right.
So to them, they could have got in. And the family that did get in that box was their savior.
Amen.
Savor of life unto life. Those outside of that box, then it was a savor of death unto death. For when the Lord shut them in, it shut everybody else out.
Right.
The Lord shut them in and shut everybody else out. And everybody inside that box was spared. So that box became their savior. Might not look like much. People around them might not have thought very much about it, but it became their savior. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he was as a root out of dry ground. No form, no comeliness. In other words, you know, nothing about him that said, oh man, look at that big tall fella, good looking fella. He'd make a good movie star. No, sir. Whenever they come to arrest the Lord Jesus, now I know it was at night, but you know they had some light. And so when they come to arrest the Lord Jesus, Judas said, the one I kiss will be the one we need to take. He didn't say the good, tall, big, tall, good-looking fella with the deep voice, you know. See? So, and people might say, well, how in the world, and my wife, I shouldn't have brought this up, I don't reckon, but she has said this. She said, you ought not put it that way. Well, I think it gets the message across. Some people might think, you know, how in the world can a naked Jew man hanging on a cross do anybody any good? He couldn't even save himself, see? But everybody inside of that old drab-looking box was spared the flood. And even though, my friend, to the world, he don't mean much. His name is a byword. And therefore, you know, and we might understand everything there is to understand about the crucifixion and things like that, but to those of us that are saved, he's altogether lovely. He is our Savior, our Lord. He commands our destiny. He commands our life here and now. So to us, my friend, to the lost world, he may not look like much. But those inside of Christ will be spared the judgment of the flames of hell.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You ever been burned before? Everybody in here has been burned. So you ever had your finger... You ever put your finger in a pencil sharpener? Anybody in here ever put their finger in a pencil sharpener? Wasn't Duncan, was it? It's the one up above there, wasn't it? Amen. I told Miss Morris, boy, y'all going to have a good ball team one of these days. Amen. Five on one side and five on the other one. One, the mama's the umpire and the daddy's the pitcher for both teams. Amen. But anyhow, you know, you ever put your finger in a pencil sharpener? Don't do that.
That's right.
Anybody, you know, anybody any younger than that? You ain't done heavy, son. What's wrong with you? But anyhow, you hate being in mama's arms. But anyhow, you know, you've been burnt before? Well, we all been burnt, see? How would you like to be engulfed in flames? Forever and ever and never get out. Don't you know them people outside that ark when that door was shut and the days later that the fountains of the great deep broke up and the rains came down? Don't you know? I'm reading. So you're reading this into it? Okay, maybe I am. Can you picture them out there hooping and hollering and screaming and a beating on the door and things like that if they did that, or running and fleeing trying to get to the highest mountain and things like that? No. It might not. They might have poked fun at it. They might have scoffed at it. They might have cussed it and ridiculed it and things like that and thought they were a bunch of ignoramuses. But, brother, when they got inside of that box and they were spared, everybody on the outside of there, my friend, no matter what they thought about, when that door was shut, they could not get in.
That's right.
And what they scoffed at and mocked and made fun of became the savior of four couples, and all them critters, that box became their savior.
Right.
So therefore then, we see that. We see that this box became the savior. Number one, the box was God's idea. Number two, the box became their savior. Number three, if you can go with me now to the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let's see, probably not a good place to jump in, but I'm just going to jump right into that verse because really it's only a certain part of this verse I want you to notice anyway. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited and the days of Noah, right, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Mm-hmm. And a part I want you to notice is this. The long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing.
That's
part I want you to notice. Number one, this ark, this box was God's idea. Number two, it became their Savior. And number three, it displayed the long suffering of God.
Sure did.
Now, when I talk about the long suffering of God, we're talking about one of God's attributes. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, if somebody were to describe you, there's some things they would use to describe you. Andrew, they'd say, that fella from England. Oh, yeah, well, we know who you're talking about now, see? Because he don't talk like I do. And don't like anybody else around here, amen? He don't even talk like the man from Vermont over here, amen? The trapper caught that $600 otter. He's an odd-looking color, wasn't he? I never seen one like that. So there's various things we can use to talk about somebody's characteristics, or if you want to use the word, what I'm using here is attribute. Yeah. So the Bible, and that's the only place you can know about the attributes of God. God is sovereign.
Yeah.
He's absolutely sovereign.
Right.
That means nobody's over him. He's over everything. That speaks about the independency of God. God is holy, infinitely holy. So holy, so righteous, that there's nothing he could think or do that is wrong. God is holy. God's attributes. God is a God of grace and mercy. God's attributes. God's a God of justice. God's a God of wrath. God is a God of grace and mercy and things like that. Attributes of God. Characteristics about God. The Bible gives us characteristics of God. One of the things that He gives us, and we find it here in this verse of Scripture, is the long suffering of God.
Right.
Long suffering.
Yes,
God was long suffering in the days of Noah. Whenever Noah was building that boat, while he was building that boat, now God could have said, I'm destroying this world. Here it comes. But he didn't. What time Noah was working on this big old box, the whole time he's working on this old big box, God displayed one of his attributes.
That's exactly right.
And that is long suffering.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes,
sir. So what exactly does that mean? He waited.
Yeah.
Patient.
Yeah.
God is patient.
Yeah.
See? Let's read some people, I'm looking for a word here. It ain't coming up, so I'm going to have to use four or five words to describe it. But some people, you know, they just take advantage of God's patience and long-suffering, and they say, well, He's not going to judge me, not going to pinch my head off, not going to make me turn into worms, so I'm just going to live the way I want to live, because, you know, if there is a God, He ain't doing anything, He ain't bothering me any, see? They presume upon His mercy, I guess maybe you could say there. But anyhow, so, and I've heard it put this way, just because God don't pay off at the end of the week, you know, like the employer does, or every 2 weeks or whatever, you know, don't think that He's not going to judge, see, and all. And Billy Graham said that if God doesn't judge America, He's got to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the very reason that the Muslims hadn't took over yet.
Uh-huh.
And somebody said, well, somebody else said it wasn't going to be the Muslims, it's going to be the Catholics. And then that black robe priest and things like that. Well, the reason that the Muslims hadn't took over yet, or the Catholics hadn't took over yet, and then somebody else said, no, said it's going to be. Now, if you're part of this crowd and I don't know it, okay, then I'm going to say this, and without any fear of favoritism, because I don't know you. Okay? But somebody else said, no, said it'd be the Masonic Lodge, be the Masons that'll take over. Okay? You ever heard that, you know? And so on. So, you know, these here different societies and groups and things, you know, that are supposed to be controlling the world and things like that. Ever who it is, okay? The Bible describes it this way, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air,
right,
and Satan is the god of this world.
That's right.
And the reason that he hadn't took over completely yet, and one day he will for a few years, amen.
That's right.
And what reason he will is because God, my friend, is going to give him that opportunity.
Right.
But until that time, the reason our country hadn't been totally wiped out,
right,
by some of these crazy groups tells us that God is a God that is patient.
Yeah.
He is waiting. And therefore, he is long-suffering.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Yeah. Instead of God saying, I'm fed up to hear with the world as it is, come down rain, come up water, and kill everybody and just do away,
right,
with them.
Right.
And somehow or another, I'll, in my own way, I'll save Noah over it. No. He said, Noah, build this box.
That's right.
Build a box. And while he was building the box, God displayed his long-suffering.
Yeah.
Finally, God's long-suffering, it didn't really, maybe, we think about kicking out of one gear. He didn't go neutral, but he kicked out of one gear into another.
That's right.
Amen. First car I ever owned and drove was a 63 Chevrolet that was a Bel Air. It had them two bubs in the back. That was probably more the family car, and not so much, didn't have so much, chrome and splash to it and all. But it had a 3-speed on the column. First gear, up in here is reverse, and then down here is neutral, second gear and third. I hadn't drove one of them in years. You couldn't take off like you do them in nowadays, You can take off real easy. If you didn't do it just right, you'd either, or else you'd just go and just quit. Amen. And if you didn't know what you was doing, I first got it and so forth. If you was on a hill and took off at a red light, Katie barred the door from them back behind you if you didn't do it just right. Amen.
Yeah.
And all. So God, threw his gear out of long suffering and threw it over into wrath. But in wrath then, he spared those that were in that box. So for whatever time then, that from the time that God said to Noah, get this box ready, until the time that the floods came. Because when they got inside that box, it didn't start raining that very day. What was it, about 6 days? Seven, okay. We're not real sure. We can't remember now. Since I don't have it around from, if you do, then you know exactly, okay. But six, seven days, whatever it was and all, from the time that he said, now Noah, get this box built, to the time that the floods came down and the floods came from beneath, God displayed his long suffering.
Yes, sir.
God long suffering with you, Siler.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. That's
goodness. Amen.
Yeah.
God long suffering with you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How you like that? I'm looking at you now.
Yeah, that's right.
You looking at me, wondering who I'm looking at? I'm looking at you. Hello?
Yeah.
God long suffering with you.
That's exactly right.
Amen. For you were saved. God was long-suffering with you. He's long-suffering with me. He shouldn't have been, but I'm so glad he was.
Amen. Yeah.
You that are unsaved, amen, God's long-suffering with you.
That's exactly right.
Long-suffering.
Yeah.
Better appreciate the long-suffering of God.
Yeah.
His patience.
Right.
Amen. His goodness and this and that. Long-suffering. So for what time they were working on that there big old overgrown box, which was God's idea.
That's right.
And everybody inside that box became their Savior. Christ is our Savior, God's idea. And then therefore then, what time they spent building that box displayed the long suffering of God. And what time it takes to the time that God starts dealing with you and working with you, that he brings you to a place where you're regenerated, quickened, experience new life, born again, sealed to the day of redemption. But time between that time and the time that you're born again, God is displaying to us his long suffering.
Yes, sir.
Just like he did with Noah in his day. Three things about that box. anybody asks you, what did the preacher preach on last night? I said, well, he preached on lessons from a box.
Yeah.
Amen. Went and had my oil changed one Monday morning, and the guy changed oil. He said, what did you preach yesterday, preacher? I said, lessons from a box. I seen him tilt his head down a little bit, and he went on. He was thinking, what's he preaching? Well, preaching about a box.
Yeah.
Lessons. I told you I was going to ease up on you. I'm through. Lessons from a box. God show you any lessons from this big overgrown box tonight? And it's not the only thing. I got started in this at our church last Sunday night and so forth, and I'm just taking my time looking at these different things in the Bible that talk about this. So there's a lot more you could be said about this. We're going to look at, when you start looking at the box then about the Moses and that box that he was in, and the box of the Ark of the Cut, boy, there's a lot of good typology in. So you see then, lessons from a box.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, pray and ask of you to help us now, work in each heart as only you can. Help us to enjoy the Bible, and Lord, help us to enjoy God. And help us, Lord, to see these great word pictures. Great word pictures. So please help us, I pray, and work in each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll ask our sister to play. If you need to come, respond to the Lord, you feel free to do that.
Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness. I appreciate the message. I believe you'll remember.